Stars and El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Thank you, General Galen Shaw, and the Dooleys as well for joining us last hour. We're online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch Phil TV in HD. This is a full-color, high-definition picture of our studio. You also see the roiling surf of the El Pacifico behind me. We have three basic camera angles and more, and a lot of other little extra goodies we do with our video cast. Join us for the video cast with a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Now, last night, Vernon Dozier, who is an educator at Belmar Academy, was on the line with us, and we were discussing the George Zimmerman case. Mr. Dozier is not only a social studies teacher at Belmar, he is as well a member of their board. He's a the head varsity football coach. He wears a lot of hats, and you can well imagine how busy a guy like that is. He's joining us tonight again because what happened essentially was this. He had given an opinion in his social studies class about the George Zimmerman Defense Fund. George Zimmerman, the man accused of killing Trayvon Martin in that neighborhood watch gone awry shooting there in Sanford, Florida. There is a defense fund for George Zimmerman, and it was Mr. Dozier's opinion that anybody that contributed money to it was stupid. And then Vernon, and Vernon's on the line with us here from Glendale, then a young lady took exception to that, right?
That is correct, Billy. A young woman by the name of Karen Buford, who is in my class, gone home to her father and told her father what I'd said. And I told you last night, and I continue to tell you, that there are some things that are said in the classroom that are no one's business. But as the saying goes, up, you know, if you ever saw that movie Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, where Jeff Bridges, they're standing on a creek, there's a very babbling creek that he's standing. He says, up here, people's business is nobody but their own. Well, that's the same thing in my social studies class. You know, that's my business. And when I'm talking to my students about different things having to do with the daily topics of the day, there are things naturally going to share with their parents. And there's some stuff that I, when I'm giving an opinion, I don't think they're going to run home and you know, squeal. I don't want to say squeal because...
you really call it squealing when the kids are talking to their own parents?
No, I wouldn't characterize it like quite like that, but it... I do feel a little betrayed. And so, when, make a long story short, she went and told this guy, you know, this Brett Buford, and I talked to him at a parent-teacher conference, and we had an exchange where, you know, I said, anybody that contributes money to the George Zimmerman Defense Fund is stupid. And he said, well, maybe I think, you know, you sound stupid. And I said, well, stupid is as stupid does. I was quoting the Forrest Gump movie. I wasn't trying to show, you know, I think I got in a good line there. Stupid is as stupid does. And he turned around, took two steps back, and then looked back at me and said, run, Forrest. And the message was delivered loud and clear. In that instant, both of us were frozen in time. And I realized that he was calling me mentally deficient. He was calling me a mental defective. And, you know, if you ever saw that Cuckoo, remember the movie The Cuckoo, or how did things go? The Cuckoo, yeah, with Jack Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that's it. He said the mental defective's in formation. Okay. And it's almost like it was, that's what Brett was doing, just going the mental defective right over here. So I just said, man, you know, that's it. I felt like there's nothing I can do. There's nowhere I can go. There's no one I can talk to. There's my wife is not going to understand anything that I say because she doesn't care. And I'm not, you know, God bless my wife. I love her very much. She's much younger than me, and she doesn't care what I do for a living as long as I keep the money coming in. And I don't find that either. That's the way women are. That's the way women are. If you want to come home at night to something quality, okay, then you better keep the money coming in.
And look, I don't want to talk, Vernon, about your marriage, okay?
I'm not. Well, I apologize, but I was trying to make a point.
What is the point?
Mr. Hendry, I didn't come on your program again tonight to once again be on the defensive, okay? I'm just saying.
Well, you're talking about your... you're talking about marriage and women, and if you want to keep something quality at home, what's that got to do? I'm going to get Mr. Buford on the line here in a moment. I just wanted to make sure that we're on point, that's all.
Well, all right, sir, but you sound decidedly... Hold on, would you turn that down, please? The TV, you sound decidedly irritated. And
were you talking to your wife right there?
That's none of your business. That's none of your business. If that's the way you want to play it, we'll play it like that. I was talking to you about my wife. I was talking to you about my wife, but you said, what's this got to do with anything? Now you're asking me, was I just talking to my wife? That's none of your business.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, sir. I don't want to get into an argument.
All right. Well, then it was my wife.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, I'm not...
Mr. Henry, can we get something clear? I just
No, but hold on. I got to finish this thought. I don't want to get into a lot of personal arguments about marriages or the definition of marriage. You're telling me that you are not understood by people. That's the essential point of what you were saying.
I am telling you that I'm not understood when it comes to trying to communicate to my students, and so my students become my last line of communication. And if I can't talk to them, and I can't say something to them like anyone that puts money into George Zimmerman's pocket is an idiot. An idiot. And I say, and there's, I feel strongly, if I can't even say it to my students, who have I got? And what have I got? Now you tell me. I said I can't talk to her. She's sitting there right now with a spoon shoved in a thing of ice cream. Now, I got to tell you something about my wife. She is all that and a bag of pork rinds. But I'll tell you something. In about 5 years, you hear I'm talking about you now. I said in 5 years, that ass. Well,
yeah, you know something? We're talking about education. We're talking about students. We're talking about parent-teacher organization. I don't want to be talking about your wife's rear end. All right?
I apologize. I'm sorry. I wanted to tell her if she keeps eating that ice cream.
You can talk to her about that later. But I think this is the problem that we have when we talk to you and about some of the issues that come up with you, sir. You have this manner in the classroom that's going to rub a lot of parents the wrong way, and then we get sidetracked.
I'm not getting sidetracked. You don't understand.
And you're telling me that you have no one to express opinions to, and so you express them to your students. Fair enough. But then you don't want them to go back to their parents and say anything to their parents.
I don't want them to go back to their parents and squeal like so many guys that I came up with. You know, the minute somebody got caught with a gun or they got caught with a car that wasn't theirs or something, they start, well, now I'm telling you too much about...
Yeah, you, everything you say to me, man, about your marriage, your upbringing, you're telling me now what? You got in trouble with the police?
I didn't say that at all. I didn't say that at all.
Well, you're talking about guys that squealed when they got caught with a gun?
A guy? You don't know people that... What I'm going to say is this.
Why don't we get off of these topics? Because here, Mr. Buford, is he up?
Yeah, I got Brett Buford here. Come up on line two.
Fine, bud. I can see the line blinking. I just wanted to know if that's him. We're going to talk with you and to Mr. Buford here when we come back from the break, and I don't think we need to... I don't want to limit what the conversation is going to be, but didn't you say you wanted a chance to talk to him?
I wanted a chance to talk to him man-to-man and tell him about what it's like for me, okay? Just talk about me for a change. I talk about students. I talk to parents. I talk to everyone. When do I get a chance to talk about me?
And I don't know if it's about you as a teacher.
Well, there you go. You see, everywhere I go, I get cut off. I'm looking at her right now. She's on the couch. She's not even paying attention to me. I could talk this loud. I'm talking this loud right now. Becky? See, she doesn't even hear me. She's got a spoon shoved so far into that moose track, or what do you call that? Moose's tracks. And you know what moose tracks, the ice cream, have you ever had that?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it? It's like they have balls. You're supposed to be imagining that you're digging into a pile of moose turd. That's what it is.
And no, you're not. No, you're not.
Well, why do they call it moose tracks then? Because you're every now and again you come across a moose nugget, something that fell out of a moose's.
Okay, hold the line here.
See, I'm 15 minutes into your...
Hold the line here. We'll be right back. Vernon Dozier, he's not going to get very far in this show. He's wound up again, man. Well, we'll get Mr. Buford on. They had a dispute, parent and teacher, and they'll talk it out, hopefully, here on the Phil Henry Show. I don't know why they call it Moose Tracks. All I can tell you is it's damn good ice cream. I don't eat it these days, but maybe someday, way in the future, when I get this weight of mine down to about 200 even, baby, then we'll get back into the Moose Tracks. But that's going to be a long way off. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Why do they call it Moose Tracks? Why can't you answer that?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here with Vernon Dozier, and we got Mr. Brett Buford on the line. Mr. Buford is the father of Karen, and Karen Buford was the one who had heard the comments about George Zimmerman in Vernon Dozier's class, went home and talked to her father, who is on the line with us now. And where does your family live, sir?
We live in Glendale.
You live in Glendale, okay. And can you tell me when you were at home and your daughter, where did she tell you about this? At the dinner table?
Yeah, you know, in the morning, Karen will, or not in the morning or the evening, the kids will talk to us about how their class went, you know, and we'll talk to them about their classes and their grades and this kind of thing. And she mentioned that they'd had this discussion and this... in social studies, you know, this Mr. Dozier, and I said to her that I actually had donated to this George Zimmerman Defense Fund.
So you had?
Oh, yes, sir.
And how?
Through PayPal.
Okay. And was this on his website?
Yes, sir, it was. And I, you know, gave money to PayPal, and I said to my daughter, you don't think your dad's stupid, do you? And she said... no, you know, my daughter and I are very close. She said, no, Daddy, and she felt bad for me. You know, I said, well, you don't feel bad for me. Feel bad for your teacher. And I said, but we're going to talk to him. Your mother and I are going to talk to him.
So you guys had the parent-teacher conference schedule.
Yes, sir.
All right. So Vernon Dozier is with us. Vernon?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, Vernon, you know Mr. Buford.
Yeah, I know Brett. Brett, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Dozier. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm sorry that we had a little bit of static there. But you know, I wanted to talk to you and explain to you my feelings, on the issue, you know.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. And I apologize if I had offended you. You know, I called you Forrest Gump or whatever I said to you.
Well, you said run, Forrest. But I understand, and I know that I probably... I'm not trying to usurp your role as a father, okay?
Right.
I'm just saying that in the classroom, when I am given a social study lesson, I'm also encouraging the students to express their opinions. And then, of course, I express mine, because...
Now, are you going to be doing all the talking here?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Are you going to be doing all the talking here when...
That's my understanding, because my understanding is I'm explaining something to you.
Well, I appreciate that, but...
But Mr. Buford would like to give his side, too.
Mr. Buford would like to give his side, too.
Yeah, I was told by the radio station...
I was told by Mr. Henry's staff that I would have the opportunity to explain the whole situation to you.
And I'm happy to hear your side, but I wanted to give you mine, too. So we can have an understanding, you know?
No, Phil.
Well, what, did you think that you were just going to give a lecture here?
I was going to straighten this guy out, that's all. And
I don't need any straightening out, sir, I can tell you.
Well, I think you do in some areas. That's all I'm, you know, see, look, this is like right out of a cartoon. So now we're arguing.
Yeah, okay, so let's not argue. Let's just let you give your side, and then Mr. Buford can give his. Can we do that? Can we hear both sides, and you guys can, you know, keep it down, not get angry?
All right, who goes?
No, you go, sir. That's fine. I'll listen to you.
All right, let me go through it again. I came into the class, and I said, George Zimmerman, the man that killed this kid, has got a defense fund. And I said to my class, I said to them, what do you think about that? And they said, yeah, they said, nah, they said a lot of stuff. I've been a teacher for 17 years, and I got kids every day, and they're in the class, and you don't remember, one class runs into another, let me tell you. I don't remember. This is, all it is just a lot of la la. It's just a lot of noise. But you listen to them. You know what you're doing is you're trying to encourage them to have an opinion. I said, so George Zimmerman. I said, well, let me tell you what I think. And this is a moment for me. And I told you, Mr. Buford. I told Mr. Henry. I'm telling his audience. This is a moment for me where no one seems to care. No one wants to listen to me. You know. And so I'm. I said, well, let me tell you what I think. This is what I think, my life. And this is the point in every classroom that I've ever had where the kids start throwing paper airplanes, okay? You see, are you with me on this, Phil?
And, okay, I mean, all right.
Well, this is where they start with the spitwads, and I'll say, here's what I think. I think, and spitwads, and this, and they're playing trash can basketball. They're playing grab ass. They're playing monkey in the middle. They're doing all of these.
Sir, why don't you have a little more control over the classroom, sir?
Sir, can I finish what I'm saying, though? I do have control over my classroom. But I'm telling you, I've had a lifelong problem with anybody, and I mean anybody, caring whether I live or die. Okay? Right now, I've got a wife sitting on this couch.
Well, sir, I've heard your opinion about your wife. She's eating the Moose Tracks ice cream. She doesn't seem to be much interested in what you're saying. It doesn't mean she doesn't love you. You know,
I think I know my wife better than you. God almighty, at least give me that. At least give me that. That I know my wife better than you.
All right, sir.
Vernon, can we get past your personal needs?
Who said that?
The host of the show, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry.
Can we get past your personal needs? Can we get to the meat of the matter here?
All right. So while I'm giving the kids my opinion and the spitwads are flying and the trash can basketball, monkey in the middle, Dharma for one, grab ass, ankle grab, crotch baseball.
What is all of this that you're talking about?
I've been trying to tell you, these are the games that these kids are going to play when they ignore you and don't care whether you're walking around breathing or you're lying there as cold as ice. It doesn't matter at all.
Well, sir, I hate to tell you that.
I'm not finished, Mr. Buford, so please hold on.
All right, sir.
So I gave my opinion, and when the class was done and I was finished talking, they all got up and left almost as if they didn't even know I was there. They just, you know, they left. And the next thing I hear is from your daughter who said, I told my dad. All right, I'm sorry, I shouldn't.
Well, see, that's what I mean. You're making fun of my daughter. You're making a voice like you did right there.
All right, but I mean, she came into the classroom and, all right, I'm sorry.
Can't you just say what she said without characterizing it?
Well, I mean, I'm giving you what she said. She came in and she goes, oh, Mr. Dozier, all right, I won't be a smartass, but she... Mr. Dozier, I told my dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what? And he said, my dad contributes. I said, you know...
Well, you said to her, she said to you that's real disappointing. I'm sorry to hear your dad is such a numbskull.
I didn't say numbskull. I probably said something like douchebag, and I didn't even mean to say that.
Well, I think that's worse.
That's not worse than numbskull.
You called that... Are you telling me... I just want to be clear here now. I'm the guy that needs some clarity. You're telling me you said to a student that her father was a douchebag.
You know something, Phil?
Is that what you said to this kid?
You know, let me just... Phil, you have a tendency to really... You really love the drama, don't you?
I love the drama. You're the guy who's been here talking about yourself and about how the girl made a voice and about the kids are throwing spitwads and nobody cares about you and your wife's on the couch. And have you ever had Moose Tracks? You know.
Oh, so now you're laughing, huh?
Well, I have to be honest with you, sir. It is pretty funny.
Oh, my God. Are the two of you, I want to be clear, are the two of you laughing?
It's a little bit funny.
I laughed at the Moose Tracks.
Oh, my God. So I've been on this.
Hold on and just try to, if you can, take a deep breath and just hang on, and we'll be right back with you. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World famous, Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
My God. Why?
Phil Hendry.
Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour in about a half an hour. Right now, though, we are talking with Vernon Dozier and with Brett Buford, the father of Karen Buford, the young lady who was your class, Vernon, and heard your opinion. And we're getting sidetracked a little bit. Give me your opinion, Vernon, and then Mr. Buford, you respond to that, and then you give me your opinion. And Vernon can respond to that.
I just want to, are you going to do this? You going to moderate like it's I think you ought to let Phil, I think he's doing a good job. You let him, let Phil, kind of run things. Okay, yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Buford. I just would tell you that I've been on the Phil Hendry Show, and I know how things work. And I'm just going to ask you, Phil, are you going to moderate it like a debate? That's all I wanted to say, but I couldn't get it out because Buford. Well, all I was doing was jumping in with opinion. Oh, my God. Am I going to be able to finish a sentence around here?
You know what? I think what you need to do, Vernon, is just relax, okay? Okay? This is my plan, and I would like you gentlemen to follow it. You tell me your opinion. We'll hear what Mr. Buford, his reaction to that, and then Mr. Buford will give his opinion, and then your reaction to that. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
You know...
You know, you can't have an attitude like that in life. You have to, kind of go with the punches. Hey, what is this all of a sudden? Is this Garrison Keillor? I have to tell you, no, I'm not Garrison Keillor. I come from Minnesota, sir. I come from the Iron Range, and I grew up in the cities, and I moved my family to California. I'm not some hayseed. I'm not some backwoods guy. I understand how education works. I've raised a daughter and a son, and I've been happily married for 27 years. And I will tell you that I've got great interest in my daughter and how well she does, and you don't have to talk down to me either. All right, fine. I mean, you're all with the, a boot. Just to me, it sounded real hazy. Yeah, I know. You've made that very clear, sir.
All right, Vernon?
What are you going to do? You going to sit there and watch this guy as he mops the floor with me, or what are you going to do?
I'm going to moderate. He's not mopping the floor with you.
He bent me right over the hood of a car right there. You didn't see it? You witnessed it, and you didn't stop it. I didn't bend you over. I put you over the hood of a car, sir. I'm explaining how I raised my children. That's all. I'm telling you that I'm not some hayseed. Well, then you're not a hayseed, sir. You just sound like one. How about that? Okay, fine. I'll take that, sir. It doesn't matter to me. You can make all the fun you want. I'm talking about my daughter. Okay, so you're going to take the moral high road. Is that it? Yes, that's exactly the high road. That's the road you should take, too, as a teacher. Okay, Phil, he just bent me over another car.
Will you stop with the rape analogies? You two guys are talking. Now, if you want to do what I suggested, then there won't be the back and forth.
All I'm saying to you is, in the last 2 minutes, I've been trying to get some soap off of the tile, and every time I... This guy, have you been in jail, sir? That's none of your business. That's a very personal question. Well, I don't know if it's personal or not. You're a teacher. I'd love to know if you've been in jail. That's a personal question. Now, Phil, you wanted me to give an opinion about what?
About George Zimmerman. What do you think we've been talking about?
Fine. Anyone that gives money to George Zimmerman is an imbecile. I said it in the class. I'm saying it now. I don't mean anything personal by it. But if you give money to George Zimmerman, you're an ass. There's my opinion. All right, I'll tell you that I did give money to George Zimmerman because I felt that the man had the right to a fair trial, especially in a very highly publicized case like this. And my daughter,
She came home. Okay, you're taking more time than I took. Don't you keep a clock on this?
You took the time that you wanted to take.
Oh, my God, and all I'm doing is asking for the room.
You know what? I've about had enough of this, okay?
Mr. Henry, please don't. I want to give my opinion, at least. If he wants to sound like a baby.
I don't sound like a baby, sir. I wanted to give an opinion, and now he says he wants to stop.
I'm going to stop if I got to listen to you cry.
I'm not crying. I just want to... So anyway, Mr. Henry, I want to give my opinion, and this is it. I think the man's entitled to his opinion. Am I on the clock here or what?
Then say something.
In the last 10 minutes, I have stood here. I have been tied to a shower faucet. As this man here...
Boy, you just can't get off that, can you?
Can I finish, please?
You guys on a rape analogy again?
No. I'm saying, were my hands free, I would have defended myself. But Mr. Henry and you both tied my hands to the shower faucet. And then you basically opened the emergency door, the back door, and in strides that guy, Jerry, what's his face, from Penn State. Now, how do you think that would make me feel? And that's exactly what you guys did. That's exactly what you guys did.
Because I didn't interrupt this guy while he was scoring points in his response to you. You call that having your hands tied to a shower, and you bring up that Penn State thing? You got to be crazy. You got to be more than crazy.
That's sick. Why am I crazy?
What has that got to do with any of that, man? You are here, an adult man. You can defend yourself. Now, you said what you said about George Zimmerman. People are stupid. Here's a man who's got a daughter in your class. She told her father. He came and he confronted you. Now we're in the classroom. I want to get to that point where the two of you guys are squaring off.
All right. I mean, I said to this guy that anyone that gives money to George Zimmerman is a blithering imbecile. And he said to me, well, you go ahead, tell him what you said.
Yeah, then I said to him, I said, well, then maybe I think your opinion, the opinion comes from a blithering imbecile.
Right, and then I said to him, no, you didn't, you said it's stupid.
No, I said it comes from a blithering imbecile.
Well, then I said stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah, and that's what I said, that's got nothing, I said it doesn't make any sense for you to say that when I said blithering imbecile.
No, you didn't. Because I remember feeling good that I'd scored one. And you're telling me that, no, you didn't? You're not remembering it properly. You said the word stupid. That's why I came back with stupid is as stupid does.
All right, okay, I'll give it to you. It's not that big a deal to me.
I want the record to be clear. You used the word stupid, didn't you?
I said that I repeated what you said. You said blithering imbecile. I said blithering imbecile.
No, you didn't. You used the word stupid. See, this is what's unfair about it.
God, this is what he did the other night, too.
What did he do, cry?
Well, it looked like he was going to...
Stop crying. I'm trying to tell you. So, then he turned around and he went like you were going out.
Yeah, I turned and I went, and it's something that I do. It's like a psychological power play. I turned, I walked to the door, then I leaned against the door jamb.
That's right.
And I said... run, Forrest. And that's when he looked like he had... You looked like you had an accident in your pants.
No, I did. Yeah, no, I didn't. I admit I was stunned.
You looked like you dropped one.
I admit I was stunned, but I gathered myself. I saw you with that half smile, and that's when I figured you'd scored one. And he walked outside, and it had been a misting night. It had been raining. And so there was moisture on the glass, and he wrote, me one, you nothing, and strolled away. And I went back out and tried to change it to me one, you one, because I thought at worst I tied him. And
I don't. What does that mean, me one, you one?
Well, because, I said me one, you nothing, because when I said run, Forrest, and he looked like he dropped the load, I figured I'd won that round.
Are you two adult men are talking to me like this?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you what it means. You two guys are adults, and you're talking about the well-being of a young student this man's daughter, and you two jackasses are going me one, you nothing?
Well, I don't understand what's so funny about that. I don't either. What we were doing, Mr. Henry...
What you guys were doing was you were playing mind games with each other with Forrest Gump insults. Then you, Mr. Buford, who up to this point I thought was probably making the better of the points, you walk outside and you write, me one, you nothing.
Because I scored. I thought I scored. I went out. No, but I went outside and I made it 1-1. Yeah, I know, and I was upset with that.
But what difference does any of this make when you're talking about his daughter?
Talking about his daughter? What? What do you mean he's talking about my daughter?
Is she a student?
Oh, yes. It means that, you know.
I think both of you guys ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I think both of you guys, teacher and father, spent more time puffing your chests out and trying to be big shots.
Mr. Henry, you know...
Hold on. I think you, Vernon, have got a psychological problem.
That's not news. You're always saying that to me.
Well, you do, man. You do. You've almost been in tears tonight. Last night, you sounded like you're going to have a stroke. And meanwhile, your wife's TV is still turned up.
I've tried to tell her to turn it down, and she won't.
Yeah, that's because you seem to not have... You don't have any control anywhere, man.
No one... Thank you. Now you're finally seeing it. No one listens to me... I don't blame them not listening to you. There's not a whole lot to listen to.
Well, you know what? That may be a good point. You're just not a very assertive guy, and you're certainly not very interesting.
So my wife doesn't... Turn the TV down, Becky. Turn it down, not up.
She'd probably turn it up to drown you out.
I was going to say, that's probably why she did it.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Wait. I, to leave me twisted in the breeze. My students were listening tonight. Other parents are listening tonight. Well, you lose, you know. I win, you lose. Me one, you nothing. No, not me. No, me one. Me, you. Me one, you won. I know, I won. No, me one, numero one. All right, I would like Mr. Henry to weigh in. Don't you think that...
No, I'm not weighing in on anything. Thank you very much and good night. There's one kid there who's got a moron for a father, an idiot for a teacher. Good luck to you, kid, wherever you are. Well, I guess she's a senior. She'll be graduating, so, you know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth.
Why, keep him on
he's
the line
our
or what?
Bitch.
No.
The Phil Henry Show.
Me one, you. No, me one, you.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line, let's see, go down to the phone call, bud.
Yeah, line one.
All right, we have Ermine on the phone. Ermine, is that you?
Hi, Phil. Listening to your show tonight. This is a very interesting conversation, but I think it's out of control to listen to this man who is the teacher speaking the way he's speaking. I've been a teacher myself, and I've taught at the elementary level, and I've taught small children, but I've never heard anyone having a difficult time with an opinion to give, and then give it to a parent and not have the parent be heard. And I'm not quite understanding what the man's saying.
Yeah, this is Vernon Doyle. Is this Ermine?
Hi, yeah.
Ermine, I'm simply saying,
and this Brent Buford too, or mine. I just wanted to say I'm here too. Okay, that's good. I'm here to listen to both of you gentlemen.
All right, can I say what I want to say? Or are you gonna?
No, you go ahead and say what you want to say. You know, but just saying, you have to live. Let me.
I'm gonna let you say what you want to say. I'm gonna let you say what you want to say. Okay.
Yeah.
Ermine, I came into the classroom that day, and I wanted to talk about a George Zimmerman case that has been in the U.S. headlines about a guy who's driving around in his neighborhood, and he saw a guy, and he stopped, and he said, "What's going on?" And then he decided to pull a gun and blow the guy away. Now, I don't know what country you're from, but in America, you don't get to do that. Now, this guy, Mr. Buford, is coming on here and telling me, and he told his daughter that he gave money to Zimmerman's defense fund. That's fine. But when I say that I think anyone that gives money to the Zimmerman defense fund has got a problem, I am confronted by the daughter, the father, and I don't have anyone who hears me.
Okay, I'm listening to you.
No one listens to me.
I think you made your point, sir.
No one listens. No, I haven't made my point. I must say, no one listens to me.
Hey, look, your name Vernon, right?
What's that?
Your name Vernon, correct?
Yeah, my name is Vernon.
I know, Vernon, I'm listening to you, and you have opinion on that George Zimmerman, you give money to the George Zimmerman fund, you're stupid, you know? But that man there, he gave money, so he's going to have a different opinion.
But you don't understand.
That was my point, too.
No, neither one of you guys understands. Neither one of you guys understands. My opinion counts because I'm the teacher. The teacher. Now, I know Mr. Henry's going to have an exception to, he's going to have a conniption because I'm trying to be emphatic because you got to listen.
I'm listening to you. I know you're the teacher of the student, but why are you angry?
I'm not angry. I want to. Oh, God.
Why don't you calm down, okay? Why don't you calm down? Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
You know, don't tell me you're from Minnesota. You're a Canadian. Okay?
Not a Canadian. I come from Minnesota. I'm an American citizen.
Well, where are you? What are you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm from Guatemala.
Guatemala. I got a car. Okay. I'm the teacher, so I get to say what I want to say. I get to say what I want to say.
What about me? I'm the father. Don't I have an opinion, too?
You got your opinion in your house. But when your daughter comes in to my classroom, and she says, guess what? My father thinks this. And I say to her, well, I don't care. I don't care what your father does. I don't care whether your father flips or falls in it. I don't care whether your father walks out of the house, gets into the car, and goes to work, or whether he walks out of the house, gets into the car, and drives, and yes, I said this, and drives to a whore house. And yes, I said that.
You said that to a young student?
Oh, my God.
Hey, don't be dramatic. This is a senior in high school.
I had no idea you said that to my daughter. If I'd been there, I heard that, I would have busted your nose.
Hey, you think so, huh? You think, really? So you want to get some? Come on, get some.
No, there's that come on, get some, and none of that stuff. Grow the hell up.
What do you mean, grow up? He just said he wanted to bust my nose.
You're talking that way to his daughter?
I said it for a reason. I said it for a reason. I didn't say it to say that her father doesn't have balls. I said it didn't matter to me what her father thought of me in my classroom because only I... And only I alone get to have an opinion in my classroom. Only me.
Well, I mean, to my opinion is this. I think this man is right if to say...
Yeah, see, I'm right. I'm right.
Well, why don't you let him finish, because he's not finished what he's going to say. Oh, hold on, yeah. I think the man's right to the opinion that he is the one who's giving the lesson. But certainly the girl is the one who gets to come to the classroom, you know, and... say what her father thought.
Why? I don't understand. What difference does it make to me? And that's why I said what I said. You know, she comes in, Mr. Dozier, my daddy, and okay, I'm sorry I'm making fun, but that's what it sounds like to me. You got to understand, when these kids come in from home, and they always sound the same. My daddy.
Are you kidding me? Every single kid?
Every one of them. It sounds exactly the same. They come in, making daddy. And you never even hear what they're saying, because all it is a lot of whine. It's just... That's all you hear. And she came in, and I, you know, by some miracle of God, I heard what your daughter said, sir. Okay?
Well, I guess that makes me a real lucky guy, huh?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, it does. And I heard her, and she goes, Mr. Dozier, my father gave money to the... And I made out George... started to go just... But I made out George Zimmerman, and...
Oh, will you get real?
What do you mean, get real?
Oh, knock it off with the... You can hear what these kids are saying fine. And she said her father gave her the George Zimmerman fund.
Yeah, and I said, it doesn't make any... What? I said, what bearing does that have on anything? I said, what possible bearing? Does your father... I said, and that's what I said. Your dad could walk out the door and drive his car directly to the Cherry Blossom Ranch, 15 miles outside of Las Vegas, and I've still got their card. Okay?
You know what, sir? That just about says it all about you.
Oh, give me a... Are you telling me...
All right, thanks a lot, Vernon.
Well, you can't hang up...
I just did. That's the second night in a row. Well, that did a lot of good.
You said glood.
Yeah, that did a lot of glood. We'll be right back here on the world... I know what I said, bud. The world-famous Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour.
Phil